show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Not quite, but close. Guess what? That's right. Time for more of the best in money information, Bucket Strategy Investing Program. We got the Brain Trust here. Ready to help you out this hour. What I said was close, but not quite. It's not Professor Plum today. As I told the TV people, I warned all of you. You can't say I didn't tell you. Terry Keyes sitting in today for the traveling Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Now, we're going to start things off with a discussion. This is why you're here, Terry, really. Professor Plum is traveling to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Got the big workshop tomorrow, which we're going to be talking about in a second, not just for Las Vegas, but for Seattle and Phoenix and other locations that are going to be coming up. The main thing we're going to start off with has to do with what they talk about on these in these workshops, Terry. Mm-hmm. You know, we get, I'm sure there are people out there who love to come, but they're saying, boy, I don't know, is this for me? What are they going to be talking about? What are the points? Does it have anything to do with me? Well, first of all, I would say yes, it does. But second of all, you also have your chance to ask whatever money question you have. So even if, you know, there's nothing for you, you still show up and you ask your money question.
Coffee and bagels.
That's a good reason to show up. And Terry Keyes, who is there with Professor Plum, we have to keep you in front of the cameras. We have to keep you, you know, in the public eye because they'll know who Plum is. And now they're going to know, of course, who you are. So we'll get to that. We're also going to have a discussion on the bucket strategy. This is something else that gets touched on a lot on these retirement income strategies workshops. The bucket, touch on it briefly yesterday with Professor Plum. We'll have a little bit later on this hour sort of an overview of how buckets work, some of the things that, again, they'll be talking about at these workshops, how you might be able to take advantage of volatile times in the market, which we've seen. Going to talk about why having some safe money to draw on while waiting for your other more volatile assets to grow is, in our opinion, the better distribution strategy for most people. So we'll have the basics of buckets coming up a little bit later on this hour. Okay, lines are open right now. Terry's here, but he's still answering your questions, as always. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. That's our phone number. You can also head over to wealthed.com, our website. You send us an email. Click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. We will answer those emails here in just a couple of moments and throughout the show. Okay, I said this. Our substitute professor. Is that all right? Can I call you that?
Associate professor.
Okay, our associate professor, Terry Keyes. He's joining us now from Lucia Capital Group. You need to get a strategy that addresses each of your needs, okay? A strategy that aims to make sure your retirement goals are covered the first time. That's why we talk about what we do on this show. Bucket Strategy. The Brain Trust Advisors will put one together for you. You call our advisory team at Lucia Capital Group at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. You can talk to any of them about your financial future. Maybe give yourself some peace of mind, all right? 800-644-1150. Now, our number in the studio, 877-PLANNER. We have a couple of people with questions already. I don't know what they are yet. We're going to take some calls, and then we're going to get into really, okay, first of all, there's a workshop coming up tomorrow.
Right. Well, I'll set the stage at the Renaissance, which we've been going back to over and over again.
That's in
Las
Vegas.
This is not a paid advertisement, for the record, for the Renaissance, but a great place. It's in Las Vegas. It's right, you know, just a block from the convention center.
Yeah.
It's behind the Wynn, you know, on the backside.
Yeah.
And it's a great location. So that's where it is for people considering joining us here in Las Vegas tomorrow, or there, where Rick is now.
Exactly.
In Las Vegas.
And there will be other locations, Seattle.
Be there by 9 a.m., always.
Phoenix.
Be there by 9.
9
get there early.
The
you can have a cup of coffee and a bagel or a Danish, get there early, and we'll start right at 9 a.m., and we get you out of there always in about 2 to 2.5 hours at maximum.
Yes, and your chance not only to just learn, bring your money questions. I said this, whatever question you have. It can be on taxes. Mm-hmm. It can be on insurance. It can be on annuities, retirement, mm-hmm. saving, college, Social Security. That's another one.
Right.
Portfolios, whatever you got. They will answer your questions. So,
and it's still not too late to register. You can register right now at wealthed.com or pick up the phone and call us here at the Lucia Capital Group. Either way.
You could also just show up.
Yes, absolutely.
We prefer to just, you know how many people are coming. But, yeah, you can
do that. We always have the ability to bring extra chairs in if we need extra chairs.
So. Okay, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Let's take a couple of calls here because we don't want to leave people on hold for too long. We're going to start the hour with Bruce in Renton, Washington. Hello, Bruce.
Hi there.
How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing fantastic. Now the first cup of coffee is kicking in.
Good. Okay.
Good.
For all of us.
My question is I'm hoping to retire in about 4 years at age 66,
okay.
The so-called full age. And I was curious, what kind of taxes am I going to pay? I'm going to be getting about probably $38,000 a year total, and about 16.8 of that will come from Social Security.
Okay.
16 or 17,000. How much of that am I going to have to pay the tax man? In other words, what will I have left to live on?
That's going to be all the income you're saying, or that's going to be all you have?
Yeah, and that's even being a little generous, but I'm trying to get the tax bite.
Right. Yeah. Well, so at $38,000 of total income, you're not going to be taking any money from any other qualified plans that's going to be added to your income, Bruce, either on top of the 30?
No, I mean, those are going to be distributions, you know, largely from, you know, 401ks, IRAs.
That's what the 38 is. That they're included in the 38 is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
And about 17 of that will be from Social Security.
I'm sorry, are you single or married, Bruce? I missed that.
I am single.
Okay. All right, Terry.
So final single return. I don't have the exact numbers memorized like the Professor Plum does, but the basic answer is this, Bruce. You will pay some taxes. You're going to get your personal exemption, your standard deduction. Mm-hmm. So that's going to bring you down. And then your Social Security is going to be very little, if all taxable at that level, John.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll pay a little bit of tax on the money that you withdraw from the qualified plans. But you will definitely be in the 15% tax bracket, and you will not pay 15 on the whole 38. You'll pay it on way less. And I don't remember how low you have to be for Social Security, John, for it to not pay any taxes. But you're going to be very, very close to no taxes on the Social Security at all.
Yeah, I suspect, because you're getting 17 of the 38 you said is Social Security, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you,
I don't think any of that is the Social Security itself. Will be
no, taxed. But I don't want to go on the record as saying exactly, because you might, if 1,000 of it is taxable at a certain percent or something, if you're over that little limit. But you're very, very close to not paying anything. The bottom line to the answer is, for people who earn more and more and more in retirement, Bruce, when you get to a certain limit, up to 75% of your Social Security check could be taxable.
Actually, 80%.
At the highest,
85%,
at the highest level.
Yeah.
So. But that's not gonna be a situation for you. So you're in really good shape. You're gonna pay very little in income taxes in retirement.
So I should probably budget then, if it's 15% on the other stuff, I should probably budget about $3,000 or something.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that number. You took the first year, budget about $3,000. See how you do the first year. Or if you want to call back next week, talk to Rick on 5 minutes on the phone. He'll actually walk through with you.
Because he's got the tax.
He's got the numbers in front of him. He has them memorized. But he'll walk through and he'll tell you exactly how much to budget. I just don't have any of that stuff. I don't even have the charts in front of me, Bruce. But either $3,000 or talk to Rick next week. But you're going to be in a very, very good position. And by the way, for everybody listening and watching, Bruce, you will pay no state taxes in Washington either. So you're in good shape.
Yeah, he knows that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thankful for that too.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well,
thanks for listening.
I drove through Renton yesterday, actually.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I came back from Seattle yesterday, and
good.
I drive through Renton every way. It's between the airport and our Bellevue office in Bellevue, Washington.
Now, we talked yesterday. You weren't here, but Professor and I talked a little bit about taxes, where people say, well, I'm in the 15% bracket. That means that every dollar that I make, I'm going to be paying 15 cents on in taxes. That is not the case. First of all, in Bruce's case, now, I don't think I assume he's not itemizing, but he's got his standard deduction. He's got his personal exemptions. I mean, those right there that you take, you know, the first, 10, 11 grand off right there.
Then those numbers change from time to time, so I don't memorize them like Rick does. But you're right. In reality, Bruce is going to be in about a 6% tax bracket if you do effectively how much you're going to pay on your whole income.
The average tax bracket.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Because that first standard deduction and personal exemptions, that's not taxed at all. That's taken off the top.
Right.
And then you've got a 15% tax on whatever is left over.
So if you make $100,000 a year and you stay in the I'll say it even better. Say you make $75,000 a year and you stay in the 15% tax bracket, you do not budget 15% of all $75,000.
Well, you could, but you're going to get a refund.
You're going to get a huge refund.
Yeah.
So there's a line on your tax return, whether you itemize or not, you get to the taxable income line. You're going to pay your tax bracket on the taxable income that's left after you've done everything else before that line.
Yeah, and as you get, if you get a big bonus or something like that, that's added income onto that. So if you're already in the 15% tax bracket, or if you're just at the edge between the 15 and the 25, and you get a bonus, most of that bonus is going to be taxed in the 25%. So yes, in that case, it's the new money that's coming in that's taxed.
Yes,
but it's not. If you add it all up, all of your income total, it's not all of it. So people have said, I said this yesterday. People have said, I don't want to get that bonus because I'm right at the edge of the 15% bracket. This will put me into the 25, which means now all of my income is going to be taxed at the 25%.
They are uninformed. It's not.
Well, it's a misconception. Yeah. It's a very common misconception, and I think people
People say I don't want any more income this year. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I want all the more income you can give me. I don't care what tax bracket. Put me in a 50. I'll still take the money. Okay.
It was a question of if I take this bonus, I'm going to lose money on this.
Send it to me.
Not the case.
All of you watching, listen. Send those bonuses to me. I will take them.
He's kidding. For the record.
Sorry.
All right. 877 Planner. What's coming up in the workshops? We'll tell you about that. We'll talk buckets. We'll answer your money questions right here. 877 PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes coming right back.
Keep him away from me.
Okay, 877 Planner, PLANNER. I tell you what, when Terry Keyes is here with us, you never know what you're going to get. He's just full of energy, full of pep, vim, and or vigor. We welcome you back to the program. I'm Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes, in today for Professor Rick Plum, who, by the way, is traveling. He's headed to Las Vegas this particular day because of the workshop that Terry Keyes will also be at. Rick and Terry and the local advisors from the local Lucia Capital Group advisors are going to be there as well, there to answer your questions. So I have asked Terry to talk a little bit about what's going to be happening at these workshops. I should mention, too, not just in Las Vegas, which is tomorrow morning, again, 9 o'clock at the Renaissance Hotel in Las Vegas. There are more after that. You got Seattle, Washington, a week from tomorrow, one of Terry's favorite stamping grounds. And Phoenix, Arizona, that'll be on the 12th of March. There will be more after that. We'll give you three at a time, so I'll tell you. But if you want to know right now where, you just go to wealthed.com. That's where you sign up, wealthed.com. It's free. Terry, it's free.
In Las Vegas tomorrow, it's free. Now, what I mentioned in the pre-show meeting I mentioned to you is,
yes.
Now, first of all, if you're a Republican in Las Vegas right now, you only have one decision to make is, are you going to attend the workshop tomorrow? That's all you have. You figure it out. Register at wealthed.com.
Right.
You're
okay.
Coming or you're not. We'd like to see you there. Okay.
Okay.
Now, if you're a Democrat, you have two decisions to make before tomorrow morning.
Do you?
Who are you picking?
Okay. The voting.
In your caucus. Yes. Tomorrow's caucus day in Nevada.
Primary. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we knew that when we scheduled the meeting, but I don't think it will affect our attendance at all for 2 hours in the morning. I don't know. Do they caucus at 9 o'clock in the morning, John?
Well, it's a primary. It's not a caucus, I think.
Well,
right?
Whatever they have. The polls are open, I guess, then. Is that what they are?
Oh, it is.
I think they caucus in Vegas. Yeah, I think they
meet
in smoke-filled rooms. I mean, that's what they do.
It's the old style. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so join them tomorrow. So, okay, now, here's the question. People say, well, I'd love to go. I mean, it might be fun, but at the same time, I don't know what they're going to talk about. Is there anything that...
Yeah.
So I want you to sort of give me the rundown, if you would.
Okay. First of all, let's just dispel any myths anyone might have in their mind out there watching or listening. We do not fill an auditorium with 4,000 people where you sit in the back like an ant and can barely hear.
No, we actually do have a limit. We keep it...
These things are 70, 80, 100 people, okay, in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Very casual, okay? Most people come in their shorts and sandals, John. Okay, it's a very casual atmosphere.
I would expect
and it's
that.
Highly interactive. It's a 2 to 2.5 hours. It's a highly interactive place where you can actually bring your personal questions and share as much or as little of your personal information with us in front of the group as you want and get your questions answered. And if there's something you want to just save afterwards, Rick and I usually have time afterwards to mingle with people and take some personal questions that you may not want to ask in front of the whole group. So
yeah.
There's the ability to meet with Rick and I and do that as well. But then during the prepared remarks, during the beginning of the workshop, we discuss a plethora of issues that people face prior to and during retirement.
Okay.
Well, market volatility, Social Security, lifetime income, alternative investments, managed portfolios, active management versus passive management, income taxation in retirement, taxation of Social Security.
Okay. So
all these subjects come up.
lifetime income was a big topic. We just had this a couple of days ago. We had a lot of people asking questions on this. So start with this.
We spent a good period of time, probably 15 minutes or so of this, just explaining the pros and cons of lifetime income and what lifetime income is.
You can tell us what it is?
Well, I won't go into detail here because we spent a lot of time in the workshop, but you can buy a pension plan if you don't have one. Now, I have a lot of clients in Seattle where the husband and wife both worked at Boeing, and they have a pension, both of them, and they have Social Security. Two Social Security checks and two Boeing pension checks is a nice retirement, John. They don't need to go out and buy a pension plan, those particular people. Mm-hmm. But others who have been independent business owners or worked somewhere where they did not receive or do not receive a pension, they need to make a decision, especially couples, but it applies to individual people too, but especially married couples in retirement need to decide if they together are going to purchase a lifetime income plan. And that's basically a type of a rider with an annuity where you get guaranteed payments for as long as you both live, even if the amount you purchase the plan with runs out of money.
Yeah, and I'm sure people have heard either, they've heard seminars or certain areas of the country where there are a lot of these like annuity type products being pitched, and I don't like the way that they are presented at these.
Well, sometimes they're sold to people too young, so you pay fees for way too many years. That's a big mistake that we see. Okay, sometimes people buy too much of them, so you have an $800,000 portfolio and the insurance agent or the stockbroker talks you into buying $600,000 worth of so you just took $600,000 of your retirement savings and bought one product. That's not a good idea either. So we go through what the right mix is and why. We talk about those things at the workshop. And we discuss with people. The other big question is longevity. I mean, you're buying this as a longevity insurance, basically.
But if you're not going to live long, what's the point of paying for something that's
If two people have serious health issues and illnesses at age 65, probably not a good candidate for lifetime income either. But you know what? Those people are being sold lifetime income all the time, John.
This is a problem. We'll talk more about this. I want to get at least one more call in because we were going to talk buckets, and there was a call somewhere on there regarding buckets. Let's go to Brian in Texas. That's who it was. Brian, hey, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Well, I was interested in a bucket strategy.
Yes.
And basically what I have, I've got 280 in short-term bonds. Uh-huh. Got 200 in corporate bonds that are laddered over the next 10 years.
Okay.
I've got 400 in individual stocks, dividend-paying stocks.
Okay.
And 600 in mutual funds.
Okay.
And 200 in cash.
Okay. So...
I'm 65. I'll be 66 in June.
Okay.
This year, and I'm thinking about going ahead and retiring now.
Well, it sounds like you're ready, turning on Social Security maybe at 66. Are you single or married, Brian?
I'm single.
Okay.
I am married.
Oh, geez. I hope your wife wasn't listening.
Well, that's not
just
rare.
Kidding. Yeah. All right, so you're married. Is your wife going to have Social Security too?
She's drawing Social Security now.
Oh, good. Okay. All right, so here's what you're going to have, Brian. You're going to have two Social Security checks, and then you're going to have income from your bucket strategy. He has a bucket strategy right now, John. So your cash, I'm just doing this all from memory, the cash and your short-term bonds, Brian, are bucket one. So you can write those down on a piece of paper as current bucket one investments. Your corporate laddered bonds are a bucket two. I have some issues with those that I'll discuss in just a second. Your stocks or whatever the other equities that you said you owned is a bucket three. And then the mutual funds, depending on what type of mutual funds they are. The bond ones are bucket two. Any short duration mutual funds or fixed income mutual funds could be considered bucket one. Any stock mutual funds could be considered bucket three. So you have a bucket strategy, but in your situation, Brian, it appears to me that you need more help in fine-tuning your bucket strategy because you probably have too much money in short duration and cash, earning very low interest, and depending on how much income you're going to take in retirement, you only want about 7 years worth of income in that bucket. It sounds to me like you might have too much, and I don't know if you're overweighted stocks or not until we do an analysis. So I would highly suggest that you meet with a Lucia Capital Group advisor that works with our clients in Texas, and no cost, no obligation whatsoever, fine-tune your bucket strategy. He will draw out for you, and he's a very qualified financial advisor, for no cost, no obligation, a bucket strategy and showing you how to move some things around. Do you have any questions about that?
No, that'd be fine.
Yeah, so if you stay on the line and let us get your information, we will do that for you. We do it for thousands of people all over the country every year, and we're happy. You're doing a good job. He's got a good start already, John. He's got some things in the right place.
Well, Brian, hang on. I got to take a break here. So if you have questions, again, please hold on. But we'll bring it back. as he was listing them off, I'm thinking, okay, there's your bucket one.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I was organizing them in my head. Right.
And then he's got the 600 for, I mean, he's got a decent amount of money right there.
We just need to now see exactly how much he wants to draw from it in retirement. And once we've determined that, we can move money around and put the right amounts in each of the buckets.
Okay, well, Brian, hold on. If you have some more questions, 877-PLANNER. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes coming right back.
Huey.
Gesundheit.
Huey Lewis.
I know what you mean.
It's Huey Lewis. I met him once.
And the news?
Just Huey.
Oh, just Huey.
Yes, okay. San Francisco Airport.
Oh, well, I'm sure he was happy to see you.
Yes, he was.
He still talked about it. But therapy will cure him, I think. All right. Johnny Dean, Professor. Not Professor Plum. You're an associate professor, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I can't make you full professor yet because that just would copyright infringe.
It hurts Rick's ego when you talk to me.
Yeah, and I can't do that. But anyway, Rick is on his way. Well, he's in Las Vegas now. They have a lot of folks that they're meeting with right now. He's speaking with in front of several large groups. You'll be doing so tomorrow in Las Vegas. We keep bringing this up because I asked Terry to come on today, number one, because I'd like to have somebody answering questions that's, mm-hmm. got all the background and all that. But number two, to talk a little bit about what you could expect when you go to one of these workshops. And you talked, Terry, briefly about one of the subjects that come up, and it does on this show a lot, which had to do with lifetime income. You can actually purchase a pension, mm-hmm. right? I don't know that, part of the problem with lifetime income, and you just sort of broached this a little bit, is that people are buying these things, not knowing about these products, and not even needing any lifetime income, but they're paying for it.
Right. So they're buying products maybe they don't need at all, or maybe buying too much of a product, that type of thing. So what we want you to do is we want you to walk away from a workshop like this, an interactive workshop, and we want you to walk away knowing the questions to ask. What do I need to ask? Knowing what some of the pitfalls are so that you don't make those mistakes. And if you do that, then we've achieved our goal with that segment of the workshop in educating you about lifetime income. It's a big issue in retirement, and a lot of people put a lot of money in lifetime income products every year with financial advisors all over the United States. So you need to know what you're dealing with and what the pros and cons are, John.
I think Professor said that it's the most widely sold financial product
by
in
far.
The country.
By far.
The annuities with the guaranteed lifetime
income.
Income. Now, yep. Personally, for me, I would like that. I mean, I don't care so much about rate of return, at least where I am now. I don't care so much about rate of return. I really care that I know that a check is going to come in, and whether I live to be 70 or 95 or 110.
Yeah, if you're willing to pony up $100,000 or every $100,000 for every $5,000 or $6,000 a year of income that you want, then it's something you need to consider. But you got to go through an educational process with an objective financial advisor whose goal is not just to sell you as much of an annuity as they can.
And by the way, you've probably seen how some of them are sold. They make these products, which are beautiful for certain people, but not for everybody. They make them look like they cure everything.
Oh, they make it look like it's a guaranteed 8% on your money per year. There's all these things that drives me nuts, John.
Okay, so here's what I hear about these, mostly about these income annuities. I've heard that they're like investing in the stock market, but with no risk. You've heard that. Get stock market-like returns, but without the downside risk.
Yeah, and that's especially used on the index annuities that have the lifetime income rider.
Right, the fixed index annuities,
because they tell you can get stock market. But all index annuities have a cap rate. That means the most you can earn in a year. So in a year when the S&P is up 13%, which it has been several times in the last 5 or 6 years.
Could
okay?
be, yeah.
Yeah, well, in a year like that, you don't get 13%. You get 6.
That doesn't sound like stock market
That's
like to
me. That's not stock market returns. And then there's also other features in these annuities that are misleading as well. So we've got to make sure you know exactly what you're dealing with. And that's just one topic, lifetime income.
Okay,
let's
go to another one.
Well, let's go to the most popular one that just we have to shut the questions off sometimes, John, because we talk about a Social Security strategy. We help you decide what your strategy is going to be. I mean, we deal with this. I'm dealing with a brand new client up in the Northwest right now who's trying to determine what his and his wife's Social Security strategy is going to be. Do I turn it on at 62? I am going to be retired, he says to me, at 62. Mm-hmm. So I turn my Social Security on at 62. Do I wait to 66? Do I wait to 70? What about my spouse's Social Security? How much is she going to have? Mm-hmm. When should she turn hers on?
You know what the standard answer is all this when I read and I ask, what is the age of the best to take Social Security? Almost all of them, 70, 80% say, never take it early, you're stupid, because you get a raise every single year, which you do. You get a raise. You got to wait until age 70 because you get the most, you get the biggest check,
and
which
the
is true.
First example I can give you of why that's exactly the wrong thing to do for some people, the first example I can give you is, tell me how your health is. If you have health issues, you are turning your Social Security on at 62 because you don't know how long you're going to live. And mm-hmm. if you die at 68, my dad never got Social Security, John. He never got a check. He made hundreds and hundreds of thousands over his career. He died before 62. So there's money that all went to the Social Security system. So if you have health issues, you're turning your Social Security on. So you can't make blankets, not you personally, but people can't make blanket statements like that.
No, they can't. So what sort of Social Security strategies do you guys address?
A spousal strategy is one. So the husband, well, let me turn it around because we always use the husband. Let's use the wife. The wife's a doctor and she makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. The husband was a stay-at-home dad and he putted around with a business where, I don't know, maybe he washed cars or something.
Boy,
for
that
living.
Sounds fun. That's great. Well, what a great scenario.
My dream.
This is my reverie right here. All right, I want you to go with this
all
one
right,
now.
So
all right,
her Social Security could be as much as, if she waits all the way to 70, as much as $3,400 a month when she's 70. And maybe he's several years younger than her. Another nice idea, huh, for her. Anyways, she may wait to 70 just so that he can have her benefit when she passes away because she's older in that situation. So there's a situation where they waited till 70 mm-hmm. on purpose, okay? Mm-hmm. So you take it early if you have health issues. You wait if you have a spouse who might want yours. Now, Rick and I, both our spouses, are going to want our benefit. We have much higher benefits than our spouses. So Rick and I, no matter regardless of our health, we're going to wait till 70 just so that our spouses can have our age 70 benefit.
Yeah, and here's a scenario, too. Let's take your doctor scenario. The woman who's making a ton of money and the husband who's, you know, not going to have mm-hmm. a huge Social Security benefit, mm-hmm. maybe very little, and she's going to have the max if she waits till 70. But let's say that her health isn't all that great. She's working all the time. She's nervous and, you know, there's a good shot that she's not going to make it much past 72, 73. Well, it could behoove her, if I may use that term, to wait until age 70.
Absolutely.
Because the husband.
Just for him. I don't care what her health is. Because if she was a doctor and saved money, they probably have a lot of money saved anyways. Mm-hmm. So if they can draw off their portfolio mm-hmm. while she's waiting to be 70 and hope she makes it till 70, but if she dies at 71, it still was the right decision because she did it for him.
She did it for him. And I never see this brought up, virtually never, outside of us talking about it. Professor Plum, and now you guys, one of the strategies
I think most financial advisors fail to even ask the health question when they're discussing Social Security.
Well, they probably don't. Well,
you have to ask. That's one of the first questions you have to ask.
Even if they do, when they talk about longevity with regard to Social Security, Terry, they only talk about the longevity of one of the individuals. Now, they might take something and say, but the doctor isn't going to live that long. She's married, but she might, you know, die at 72. So? Her family history is such. Yeah. So she should take it early. But you say, wait a minute. It's not so much the longevity of the person.
No, right.
It's the longevity of the actual benefit.
So here's some questions. And we bring these up at the workshop, okay? Here's some questions regarding Social Security strategy. And then we'll move on to some other topics, too, if you want. But first of all, are you married or single? First question we're going to ask somebody.
Second of all, Social Security.
Yep, for Social Security. Second of all, how's both of your health? Explain your health situation on both of you right now. How old and what is the age difference between the two? That's another big question. Is there an age difference or are you both the same age? Right? And then the final question is, whose benefit is what? I got each of them out. What's your 66 benefit and what's your 66 or 67, your full retirement age benefit? You've got to know the answers to all those questions and now you can start to have the discussion of what our strategy is going to be.
Yeah, it is. And what I've seen is more people just say, well, what's the benefit amount? How much are you guys going to get? Oh, you're getting that? Well, then you should take it earlier. You should take it late. They may or may not cover the whole idea of longevity.
We can't get to everybody, and not everybody in the United States can attend a workshop with Rick and I, but it's really sad, John, when we meet someone who several years ago, they both already turned down their Social Security, and it was probably the wrong strategy.
Well, you know, it is, but it is and it isn't. Now, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that you got to keep in mind. If you take Social Security at age 62 and you both have long lives and, you know, you probably could have waited, but you took it anyway.
You would have been financially better off by the time you get to age 82. You're right. But it's not the end of the world. You still got the income. You still both took it.
You got the income. And by the time you hit age 85 or whatever the break-even age happens to be, 86, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But by the time you reach that age, you've already made your budget. You're used to living on that. and you say, gee, you know, yeah, by at this point, I could have had more money.
Yep.
But honestly, it's at that point, it's all of this angst that some people have about, gee, I don't know if I should take it at 62. I waited 66. But what if I don't live that long? Frankly, it's not worth the worry.
Right. So just another thing you're going to walk away from a workshop, whether you're in Vegas, Seattle, Portland, Phoenix, wherever you're going to come and meet with Rick and I and help us answer your questions, you're going to walk away with another piece of knowledge on another part of your retirement strategy, whether it's lifetime income, whether it's Social Security. And maybe when we come back after the break, let's talk about a couple more subjects, John. Probably don't want to get them started yet. But
no, we don't. We got to save those.
Okay. All right.
It's a tease.
That's a tease. You're teaching me this in the radio television business. I'm learning how to.
I'm surprised you knew
that. Notice how the big networks do that all the time? Right after the break, we're going to explain to you why Hillary said what she said.
Okay, well, you can explain that, too. I haven't been able to figure out why.
Okay.
Okay.
No, we're not going to go there.
No, we're not. All right. 877-PLANNER, our number. Terry Keyes sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum. We are talking about some of the topics that come up in these workshops. It's important stuff. All of it is important stuff. And we need you to know exactly what they're going to be talking about, because I have a feeling it's something that's going to be important to you. Yes, it will be. Okay, we got more to talk about, some emails to get to, if not this hour, next hour, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes from Lucia Capital Group. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. It's a Huey theme. Now we've had, was the first one Huey? I don't even remember. Maybe it was. Okay. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick, Rick Plum is away.
Again.
I go into, I'm sorry. You know what? This show is not scripted. It's just, you know, Professor Plum is traveling. Professor Terry Keyes. I'm just going to call you that. You're like a professor anyway.
I'm a traveling professor.
Is that what you are?
Yes. In addition to these workshops that Rick and I ramble all over the country and do, I also travel to Seattle, Minneapolis, Denver. I have clients in all of those major areas that I personally work with. So between meeting with those clients and the workshops, I'm a traveling professor.
Traveling man all over the world.
Yep. It's the old song, Lord, I Was Born a Ramblin' Man. Remember that song, Ramblin' Man?
Yeah, but I don't think it's rambling as such the word, because you don't ramble at these socials.
No,
these
not workshops. Verbal ramble. The song, no. Ramblin' Man, it's a little mistitled. He's a rambling man. He's on his way from Nashville, Tennessee,
yes,
to New Orleans.
Yes.
You know, he travels. Uh-huh. The guy's a traveling man.
R-A-M-B-L-I-N apostrophe. How's that?
Okay.
All right, so we'll take a couple of calls, but just a reminder again, tomorrow's Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. That's where Professor Plum is, speaking in front of a big group right now of, I don't know who they are, but anyway. He'll be speaking in front of another group with Terry Keyes tomorrow in Las Vegas. Terry's here.
I think one of our clients has a group that they belong to or something. They wanted Rick to come as a
that may very well
as a gift, so to speak,
as a gift
and present and answer questions.
Okay,
for that
so
group.
It's not court jester time where he's juggling.
No, they're like, you know,
that.
We got this really smart guy, and we're going to bring him to you. And they did that. So,
okay, yeah. All right. Anyway, Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix, the next three. We're going to keep reminding you of this, but that's why Terry is here today.
Yep.
Talk about what we're going to be doing. But let's take a call or two again.
I'm also here to answer Ted's question.
Ted in Phoenix, Arizona. How did you know? Hello, Ted. How can we help you today?
Hey, thanks. Just generally, and I'm signed up for the seminar coming up, so.
Oh, good.
You'll probably give me more in-depth then, but right. Just generally, I'm 57. My wife's 62.
62?
Well, you broke up a little bit there. You're 57 and your wife is 62.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up in middle of March.
Okay.
And so I think she'll be eligible, but I know there's some role changes coming up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I make around 100. She's currently working part-time making about 10. Does it make sense? We could certainly use the money because we have kids for her to sign up now, or is there some kind of factors we should consider?
Well, one of the issues is going to be that she continues to make $10,000 a year. I probably don't want her to turn on the Social Security.
Well, is she going to continue to work after she turns 62?
Not or part-time.
Well, even part-time, if she makes anything over $8,000 or $10,000, even $5,000 a year, John, I start to say, nah, just not turn it on yet, because you're gonna have to give back some of it.
Well, no, you won't have to give it back unless you're making more than $15,720. So if she's only making $10,000, she's okay from an income standpoint, because it'll be part-time work. Now you said that you need, but you could use the money right now. Is that right?
Yeah, we have kids.
I mean, to me, Terry, the needing the money overrides everything. I mean, if you need the money, I would say go ahead and take it. What's your longevity
well, yeah, but
like?
If you don't have the money now and you're paying your bills, what's an extra $700 a month going to do for you? I mean, I still, is her health good? Is she in good health?
Yes.
Yeah, I would still, even with her overall, for your full retirement plan, and there's a lot more we'd have to look at, your, you know, the amount of money you have in total savings and what your plan is for your benefit. I mean, part of me, you know, wants you to wait a little while, but the fact that you're 5 years younger negates that. But I would, my suggestion for now is take it 1 year at a time. She turns 62 in March. I would not turn it on. And what? I would continue to take it. You, by the way, for everybody watching and listening, and for you too, Ted, you could take it 1 day at a time. You can make your decision anytime you want after 62 and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm walking in today and turning it on. Well, and every month you wait, the check goes up just a little bit.
How big a difference will this make to you, Ted, the extra money coming in for Social Security? I mean, is that...
What is her sixth?
It's fairly low. Not sure what the... I don't know if it's 400 a month or somewhere between 400 and 800. But it would be very beneficial to us.
You know, that's what I'm saying. If that's what you're saying financially, then I'm going to go with John. I mean, if it's really beneficial and it can make a difference in your lives the next several years, then you take the $400 a month.
Yeah. There's really nothing wrong with taking it. Yeah.
It's not going
to. Now, you said she's making like 10 grand a year. Is that what you said?
Yeah, or 5 to 10 range.
Yeah.
And she's not going to make more than that. All right,
she can make as much as $15,000, call it just shy of $16,000 a year, and still be able to collect her Social Security benefit without having to give it back, because there is an income test. But if she's not hitting that, then she's not going to have to give back any of her Social Security. So she actually is in one of those positions, Ted, where she can work as much as she's been working and get the additional $400 or $500 a month.
It'd be like supplemental income to her on top of her work income. So instead of...
I'm in the camp of Ted. I would say take it.
Only because he said it makes a material difference to them. If it makes a material difference and you guys need the money, then I do it.
Sure.
But if you don't, if you guys sit down, look at your budget, and you say it's not, we don't have to have it, then I'm a 1 month at a time guy. Every month you wait, it'll go higher, and you guys can sit down anytime between now and Christmas, next year, 2 years, 3 years, all the way till she's 66.
Our advice would be to take it. How's that?
Thank you for the help.
Yep.
Okay, thank you for the help, Ted. Okay, we didn't mention this, and I'm glad Ted brought it up. This is the synergy between the callers and us today is just really good.
Well, I'm gonna differ with you just for good radio and TV. I'm gonna tell Ted, I don't say take it. I say go 1 month at a time and see how painful it is without it. I want you to just keep waiting.
Yeah, but
even if you wait 3 months under my scenario, John, you get a little higher check 3 months from now.
True, but if
you
it's
went all this time without it,
if it's $400 a month.
Well, if you need a brand new car, which you didn't mention. And the $400 will make the car payment, and her car is decrepit and run off the side of the highway, then I'm turning it on, right? Hey. So I don't have enough information, but I'm saying if everything's fine in your life right now and you're making your bills and you're not overly, you're not going negative every month, which you didn't indicate, then I'm going 1 month at a time.
But I'd say even if they waited a year, he's going to get the extra benefit is only going to be about maybe 30 something.
I'm going to say about $50 a month, probably $600 a year every year he waits.
Well, we'll see. Okay, but one of the overriding concerns, longevity, all of that can go out the window if you need the age.
Absolutely,
62.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter how long you're going to live because
thousands,
you have to pay your bills.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people can't make a birthday because they're check.
Well, yeah,
and I don't care about your health in that situation.
Or if it just takes some of the pressure off. And again, I don't. We didn't ask how much Ted made. He actually does fairly well. But we did. But so he'll have a much better Social Security benefit once he turns whatever age he wants to take it.
Yeah.
So I'm still in the camp of having his wife take it. All right. Another hour coming up. More to talk about. We have some open phone lines. If you need the brain trust off the air, you want to talk to Terry Keyes or Professor Rick Plummer, any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors across the country about your situation, you can give them a call, 800-644-1150, 800-1150. Another hour just ahead. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes. It's Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek.
are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. Presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.